Everyone, welcome back to the Tech Less podcast. This is a new experience for me. I am used to interviewing other people, and I decided to do a mini series where I'm going to give you the reflections and the systems to live more and earn more. And I'm excited to be here with you. So I thought I could start off by sharing a little bit of my why I'm here, why I think this matters, what my experience has been. And to give you an idea, I have been working in the tech consulting industry for about 7 years now. And if you've been following along the podcast or see me on LinkedIn, you probably might have the assumption that I've always been a work-life balance girly, but that hasn't always been the case. And I did want to clarify my meaning or my intentional use of the phrase work-life balance. I understand that there are some complexities with using that word, right? Because when we think of balance, often we think of two scales, right? Like balancing each other out, when in the reality of our day-to-day, especially for our remote listeners, it's really tough to separate what is work and what is life, right? Like that's almost impossible. And while I personally prefer the phrase life-work integration, I don't think that that phrase is very popular or might not resonate with our listeners. And I think when I say the phrase work-life balance, what comes up in probably most people's mind is the relationship they have with work, the satisfaction they have with their work and how it's affecting their life, and in some ways, their satisfaction with their life outside of work. So that's really what I mean, is this relationship that we have with work, this, you know, worth or weight we put on work, and really how that affects our life. At the beginning of my career, I was very focused on my next title, on my next promotion, and boosting my income. So much so that in the course of 3 years, I increased my salary by over 240%, partially due to internal promotions, off-cycle salary negotiations, as well as moving companies. But at what cost? My physical health, my mental health, my relationships, and being so focused on that next goal even started affecting my performance because I wasn't actually focused on what I needed to be focused on in a particular role. I was wanting to do all the things so that I could be praised and validated and get to the next spot. But when I was operating out of that mindset, you know, there's never an end to that, right? Like it's a eternal battle for the next thing. There's never any sort of internal fulfillment from, you know, coming up from within myself. And I remember thinking one night, again, I was working late. I had DoorDash my dinner, sitting at my desk at my house. And I just remember thinking, what is all this money worth if I'm not enjoying my life? And if I don't have the time to do the things I want to do? And I knew that something had to change, but I needed help. I didn't know how to change that by myself. So with the help of a therapist and a career coach, I got back all that extra time I was giving to work. I invested that in myself. And over the course of some time, I improved my life satisfaction from a D minus, y'all, to an A. And while that took me years to learn the systems that ultimately helped me break the eat, sleep, work cycle, I want to help shorten that learning curve for other people now in the tech industry who are overworked and underpaid? Over the next 2 months, I'm bringing you a series of reflections and systems that I used and still use to this day to enjoy my life more without compromising my performance or my income, right? So it's this question of how can I live more? How can I enjoy my life and my work more without having to overwork myself and also without having to jeopardize those promotions or jeopardize working on that next complex project? Or really, I think what a lot of us care about is our income. And we're going to set off to answer those questions. It's my hope that should you be ready and willing to put in the work, you can live more and earn more too together. So let's dive a little bit into what you can expect in the next 8 to 10 weeks. I think the first place to start in terms of your work relationship and your work-life balance is pinpointing why we often struggle to maintain a healthy workload in the first place. There's three reasons for that. First is your belief system. We place our worth and our happiness on our work accomplishments. So that's much what I was talking to you about first, you know, what I had experienced in my own life of viewing my worth based on what I was earning and what I was producing in the workplace. And my complete identity was tied to being a Salesforce consultant. So we're going to look at ways we can shift that, ways we can really uncover who we are outside of work. Who is our identity outside of our work accomplishments? And what do we want our life to look like? And how do we get there? The second main reason why we struggle to maintain a healthy workload is a visibility gap. So we are definitely not taught in school and in whatever school, high school or college, whatever your academic training has been. We're definitely not taught how to keep track of our workload, how to have visibility into our workload in a meaningful way so that we can have actual conversations with our managers, with our clients, to even begin the process of maintaining a healthy workload, right? So it really shifts from, you know, belief system skills and belief system reflections and belief systems work to the practical, what are some systems that we need to have in place so we even know what our workload is and so we can communicate that effectively. And then lastly, it's also a skill set gap, and it's that we don't know how to set boundaries and we don't know how to navigate difficult conversations surrounding our workload, which again, we're not taught how to do that. It's very understandable. That, you know, especially in kind of a world where people pleasing is often rewarded, you know, on the front end, and then we sacrifice our health and our relationships on the back end. You know, it is really hard to set those boundaries, especially when you don't know how and you don't know what healthy boundary setting looks like. And I also think, especially in technology and technology consulting, where speed is everything, and we all want to give a white glove service, I think, there's ways we can provide white glove service that doesn't mean completely bending over backwards every single time in a way that jeopardizes our health and our happiness, because that's very important. So it's my belief that by targeting those three core issues, what the other side can look at is working your 40 hours a week, or what you're contracted to work, rarely working nights and weekends. And if you are working on the night or you are working on the weekend, it's your choice, and that you feel like you have a sense of agency in that. Feeling energized after work to actually go and live your life, I think, is up there on one of the top priorities that I had and that I know others I've spoken with have. And lastly, this can result in actually increasing your influence at work, increasing your performance at work, and increasing ultimately your income. Because when you get very clear on who you are, what you stand for, and how to set boundaries and prioritize, you're also going to get very clear at what are the things at your work that are actually going to help you move the needle and sustain or increase your performance. Often I hear people think, or people saying, if we reduce our workload, that we're reducing the value that we provide. And that's just simply not true. I mean, you can look at any sort of productivity study. I think there's a few out there that say employees only actually are working 4 or 5 hours of the day anyway. I'm certainly not suggesting that we're reducing our workload beyond what, is in line with your employment status. So if you're full-time, roughly 8 hours a day, I'm not suggesting to use these systems for that. What I am suggesting is that, if you were working 11, 12, 13 hours a day, it is possible to prioritize and get that down to 8, 9 hours, 7.5, 8 hours, ultimately without impacting your value and your performance in your work. Now, there's nuances to that, and I would definitely love to hear what your personal circumstances are. So I'll leave it at that. And so we've talked about some reasons why we struggle to maintain a healthy workload. And what we can look forward to once we get a better grasp on that and implement our systems. And so how do we get there? I'm gonna skim through this just because we've got, the next 2-ish months to cover. But roughly how we get there and what you can look forward to in these next episodes are clarifying the vision for your life and how work fits into that, right? So moving from, oh wow, like I'm put on this planet to work. Like, no. Going from that kind of a mindset to, oh, I'm put on this planet to do X, Y, and Z, or to be X, Y, and Z. And, this job fits into that because it provides, purpose. It provides, financial means to do everything else I want. It provides the benefits I'm looking for, whatever it might be, right? But we're shifting from working, living to work, to working to support our life. Another topic we're going to look at is what I like to call the love it or list it assessment. Sometimes you are in an environment that is actually set up to enable you to thrive, and you might be your own blocker in getting to the healthy workload and ultimately the relationship with work that you want. And sometimes you're in an environment that is not set up for you to thrive. It's not set up for you to have a healthy work-life balance in a way that's meaningful for you. And it's important to know what to look for, because one's going to require, more internal work from you on the front end, And if you're constantly, you know, skipping from company to company, but you're actually blocking yourself, much like I was, right? Like I blamed my company for my work-life balance, but in fact, it was me and my mindset and me placing all of my identity into my work accomplishments. If I hadn't realized that, I would be in the same boat now. Great company, you know, great benefits, great emphasis on work-life balance, but I still would be working myself to the bone, right? So it's important to look at whether you can learn to love it or whether you should list it if it's a toxic environment. We're also going to look at, so if that is the case for you, what does your search selection look like in your interview preparation? And the big call out here is that interview prep is like dating. Care more about what you think of them instead of what you think they think about you. That's really important in the interview process if you have the privilege to do so. Episode 5, we're going to look at negotiating. This is relevant whether you're looking for a new job or you're looking to negotiate salary or even just negotiate scope, timelines, you know, your workload. There's a lot we're going to touch in that episode. And so I think that's going to be pretty juicy and pretty helpful. Then we're going to move into that visibility piece. How do you actually get visibility into your workload? How do you track that? And then how do you have meaningful conversations around that? We'll start to look at that. Episode 7, we'll continue with navigating difficult conversations around your workload. This is helpful regardless of your role. I think it's also going to be pretty helpful for our project managers out there because that's my background. So I've got some light to shed on that. We'll also be looking at in the next episode, setting boundaries. So you've got your visibility, you know, you figure out kind of like what you do want for your life. What do you want your days to look like? Can you stay in this environment? Or do you need to be in a different environment? What does your visibility look like? You're navigating those conversations. Well, how do you set those boundaries so that, like, what do you do when those boundaries are crossed? Which, FYI, my boundary has never been crossed in the 4+ years I've been implementing these systems. I think a lot of us are afraid that they will be, but in reality, if you're in an environment that is set up for actually supporting you, it's been my experience and those of others that people are happy for you to set your boundaries if you've got that visibility piece down and if you know and can navigate that conversation with grace and with professionalism. After all of that, we're going to pivot back towards you and your life because all of these systems are dandy and fine, but if you are using your newfound time watching Netflix and binge eating like I used to, it's really not going to help that much. So we're going to look at, now that you've got the time back, now what? What happens? What are the systems that need to be in place outside of work to help you improve your satisfaction with your life that's going to positively reinforce your boundaries and your prioritization skills inside work? And then lastly, we'll look at how to integrate this for the long term, how to sustain this for the long term. And I'm just so thrilled. We've got a lot of content here ready to help everyone. So I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a taste of our next episode. And that's clarifying the vision you have for your life and how work fits into that. So I just have two prompts for you to reflect on over the next week. And that's, if you could wave a magic wand, and if you had all the money in the world, what would your perfect day look like? I really want you to get outside the box there. I'll say it again. If you could wave a magic wand, and if you had all the money in the world, what would your perfect day look like? And then the follow-up to that question is, Identify three things you need to do each day to make it a perfect day. And I'm going to let you define what perfect means. I'll share what that means to me. There are days when I'm going about my day and I've got a huge smile on my face and I feel alive. I feel joy. I feel peace. Things are flowing. I feel at ease. That doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't had any challenges that day. It just means that I believe in myself and I just have a positive outlook on whatever's going on. And then there are days where I just want to go to sleep and I want to hit the start over reset button and like wake up tomorrow and try again. It's not always going to be, you know, what's that saying? Sunshine and butterflies, rainbows and butterflies, whatever that saying is. But I think it's important. And what I want you to reflect on is what are those factors that are in your control that help you get more to whatever state of being it is where you feel alive or where you feel like the best version of yourself or where you feel, dang, I feel good to be on this planet. I feel grateful to be on this planet right now, to be in this moment. What is it that you need that will help you get there? And I'll share my three things. Number one, I need to be in nature at the start of my day. That just totally sets me off on the right path. If I can get outside, if I can be in nature and get connected to the experience of humanity, that is one easy thing that's in my control, even if it's crap weather, that I can do, that I have control over. The second is move my body. If you know me personally, you know that I have struggled with my weight and I have struggled to exercise my entire life, despite having played so many sports growing up. And this one is a big challenge for me because it feels very counterintuitive. The last thing I want to do when I'm tired is exercise. But if I can get in movement, preferably at the start of my day, that's going to help me just clear my mind and feel so much better. I don't know the science behind it. Hell, if it's a placebo, I don't care. It works. I know there actually is some science behind it, but I don't know what it is to quote it here on this call and be like a credible source. The third thing for me is connection. And this can really come at any point in the day. But I need to feel connected to something larger than me, whether it's connection to what I like to call the universe. Maybe for you, that might be, you know, your God or some sort of a religion. It also for me can mean like being in connection and community with others. So my relationships are something that I very much value. You know, I'm not here to walk this planet by myself, and I want to be in community with other people. And so those three things alone, particularly if I experience them earlier in the day, just really help to ground me in what I'm here on this planet to be, who I want to be, how I want my day to go. And it just makes everything else that comes my way feel less significant. It helps me experience less stress and manage the stress that I do have in such a more productive way. So I'll leave you with that, with those two prompts. If you could wave a magic wand and if you had all the money in the world, what would your perfect day look like? And then the follow-up to that is, what are the three things that you have control over, that you can do each day, that are going to help you get to your definition of a perfect day. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Tech Bus Podcast. If you found value, I welcome you to leave a 5-star review. And if and when you're ready, here's how I can further help. 1, subscribe to this podcast for tips and tricks on navigating your career and well-being in the tech industry. 2, follow me on LinkedIn for content on career growth, delivery excellence, and work-life balance. 3, apply to partner with me one-on-one to improve your satisfaction with life and with work. Thank you again. Wishing you a great week. I'll see you back here next week. Bye-bye.